Please read with me from John chapter 10. That's John 10, verses 1 through 11. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep."
Well, good morning, church family and friends. Wasn't that an unexpected windfall yesterday? I sent a picture to our daughter in Tulsa as they were getting ready to go to an outdoor swimming pool. That's okay. Before I start a commercial, the pantry is still willing to receive anything that you can bring that the pantry can use, but one special classification of items. Items that can go in the freezer, such as meat products and things like that. So if you would bear that in mind, our pantry needs your help with items for the freezer in particular. But they are willing to accept whatever you can bring, bags of money. Another little commercial is Bible Bowl. Bible Bowl is coming, and we are the host, right? And I believe it's November the 5th, Guy Fawkes Day, if you're interested. But our young people are studying 500-plus questions over Acts chapter 15 through to Acts chapter 28, and they are doing an outstanding job. If you are a young person and want to enjoy great fellowship and learning more about God's Word and just doing things that bring us together, we need you. And so moms and dads, encourage your kids to be involved. In fact, mom and dad, if you can help us with Bible Bowl, please see Al and Tina. They would be glad to talk with you and find out what you're willing to do, or maybe listen to them what they need you to do. So, commercial's over. Let's go to the message. I'm not going to talk about sheep today, though. I know you're disappointed, but this is not a sheep sermon. And so what I think Jesus was trying to get across to his audience was that he could do something for them that no one else could do. He could provide the kind of nourishment that was lacking in their lives, because the shepherds who were supposed to be doing their job were not doing their job. They were not taking care of the sheep, and the sheep had a rather, shall we say, dull and boring life as sheep, you know. Jesus says that he's the shepherd, he's the door. And then in verse 10, he says, "So I have come that they may have life." You know, church isn't about an abundance of meetings. It's not an abundance of prayer, or an abundance of sermons, or an abundance of anything that we classify as what we do in church. Jesus says, "I have come that they may have life." I think Jesus came to show that he had the authority to help them follow him and take them places that they had never been before. Just briefly touching on sheep. Sheep need to go to where there are green pastures. Psalm 23 verses 1 to 2 touches on that. "You shall lead me into green pastures." Places where I can live and grow. Places that I can be challenged. Places that I can feel safe. He says, "I came that they may have life, and that they could have it in abundance." These people, much like any other people, might have found themselves like in a holding pattern. They had been to the same fields, the same pastures, day after day after day. And you know what sheep do? They eat the grass all the way down. So a good shepherd is always looking for green pasture to keep his flock nourished. This abundance of life that Jesus is promising them, you know, I thought about, well, what will I title this? If you want to get a life, get a good one. Get one in Jesus. Because it's going to be more than you thought ever possible. It'll be, if you come to Jesus and you go with him, you'll always find the green pasture that he intends for you to feed on. The people that this was written to suffered from, shall we say, same old, same old. You know, some people feel like when they come to church, there's a sameness. And I think Jesus wanted to break them from the thought that everything is going to be predictable. That there will be nothing new to discover, nothing new about love, nothing new about forgiveness. But what we do, or what we find with Jesus, and what I think Jesus was hoping to get across to them, other than being the door or the shepherd, was, if you listen to me and if you follow me, you will have more than enough. You will have an abundance of life, Zoe. John chapter 1 verse 4 says, "In him was Zoe." In him was life. And that life was the light of man. You know, you've heard people say, "Oh, get a life." You ever said that to somebody? Probably this week. Probably this morning. I don't. Get a life. Well, get a life. Get a good one. Get a life in Jesus. because it's going to be filled with an abundance of things. We can overdo it with meetings. We can overdo it. You know, I've often said, you know, since I've been a preacher, that, you know, I am probably going to meet the Lord, going to a meeting, in a meeting, or leaving a meeting. But you know, our life as Christians, if it's really in Christ, it will lead not only just an abundance of life, that life will lead to an abundance of love for others, an abundance of forgiveness. When we step away out of our comfort pasture and go with Jesus into those new pastures, finding things out about Him as the shepherd, finding out things about ourselves, finding out things about our brothers and sisters, finding out things about the big old world that we are living in, and hopefully we will become a force for good in this world. Not more of the same. In Isaiah 43, and if you have a Bible, there should be a red Bible in front of you, just underneath the seat in front. But if you go to Isaiah 43, the prophet speaking for God, at verse 18, it says, "Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old." He says, "Behold, I'm going to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Don't you perceive it? Don't you see it?" Sometimes church becomes the same old, same old. I think church should be a place where there will always be greener pastures for us to feed on. There will be always opportunities to look for the new thing that God is doing and glorify Him in it. He says, "I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." Now that'd be something new. It says, "The wild beasts will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert." You know, God is always the one who takes us places where we need to be. Sometimes He takes us through a desert. Why do we have to be in the desert? Will it always be desert? No. You know, God was trying to get His people to get to the promised land, but they always seemed to not be getting there because God wanted them to learn something, to understand something. It's not that He was holding back the good stuff. He says, "I will give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people who I have formed for myself, that they may declare my praise." If ever you were looking for, why am I here? See verse 21. "The people whom I have formed for myself, my chosen people." If you are looking for a simple explanation of why am I here, that they might declare my praise. That kind of opens up my eyes and causes me to rethink what have been and what are my priorities in life. Why are we unable and unwilling to see what God is now doing? Some people look and they don't see God doing anything. That God seems to have gone somewhere else, that he's probably down there sunning himself in Florida. That God isn't active in doing things. It's the fact is, if you want to see God doing a new thing, look with the eyes that Jesus was hoping that the people would see him as being their shepherd and the one who would give them a different kind of life than they've had before. Their lives had an abundance of commandments to follow. An abundance of things to remember and recite. And what Jesus was offering them was eternal life, was a life that was going to draw people not to them, but to him. Religious history falls into, I think, two phases. And that is the dynamic followed by the static. The dynamic is the idea of there's life there, there's excitement there, there's discovery there. There's something new to be learned, there is something wonderful to do. And it energizes the people who are in that dynamic phase of their lives. The static part of our lives is when we fall into what I call a holding pattern. Could I illustrate that? Would you turn to Deuteronomy chapter 2? Here's a prime example of what can happen when you stop and you no longer follow a dynamic pattern of life with God. That you basically down tools and you're in a holding pattern. Deuteronomy chapter 2 says, verse 1, "And then we turned and journeyed into the wilderness in the direction of the Red Sea, as the Lord told me. And for many days, we traveled around. We traveled around this place called Mount Seir. You know, the Lord said to me, 'You've been traveling around this mountain country long enough. You're in a holding pattern.' You know, our God is marching on. The question is, will we pick up and follow him? Our Lord is marching on. Will we pick up and follow him like the sheep and the shepherd?" And so, says the Lord said to me, "You've been traveling around this mountain country long enough. Turn northward and command the people." Where's it going to take us? The fact is, does it really matter what the Lord intends, where the Lord intends to take us? I do know this. Wherever we will find ourselves in following the Lord, that is the best place to be. When you're in a static pattern of life, everything is the same. There's, you know, it's sort of like we've got 900 and some songs in this book, and we only seem to sing about 20 of them. We've got all 66 books of the Bible, but we only seem to want to read a few of them. What happens when we settle for a holding pattern? is that we settle for doing the same thing over and over again. That we settle for talking about our past victories and not about our future battles and our future challenges. Static periods are when God says, okay, I'm going, I'm marching on. Those who are ready to follow, pick up and come with me. Sometimes we get too cautious, too predictable. We want to be safe. We're a little timid. We don't want to launch out into the deep. We got a big city. We have a huge city. I mean, I came from in Kimberling City, like 1,500 people. Although I forgot to tell you that about 8 million tourists pass by every day. But here we have 3 million people. We're crowded. There's urban sprawl all over the place. But in every house, in every home, there are people that want a life. There are people who don't know Jesus as the shepherd of their souls. We know him as the shepherd of our souls. We have come to love him. We have come to want to hear his voice and follow that voice and go into green pastures. We need to expand the abundance of life that we enjoy to share it in an abundance of love and forgiveness. That there is an abundance for... Do you think God's grace will run out? That one day we'll come to the conclusion, I'll come to Robert Missions and say, Robert, I'm sorry, I just heard God's run out of grace. Sometimes we live as if there's no more grace to be had. There's no more love to be shared. There's no more forgiveness to be experienced. When sin increased, grace was already ahead of it. This congregation is a congregation that I think has yet to move into new pastures. And I think if we would just listen to Jesus, we would find out that there is so much more to this abundance of life that we want to shout about it from the mountaintop, that we want to share it with our neighbors. We've got shepherds at this congregation. We've got people doing so many good things. Last week was fantastic. You know why? Because you were willing to give all to the good folks of Bastrop County because of the fires that have taken and destroyed their lives, their homes, their countryside. And we don't know their names. I don't know their names. And it's probably unlikely that they will learn of us unless someone will say, you know, the good folks up there in Colorado Springs at the Mountain View Church of Christ loved you. That's taking our abundance and spreading it around. I love you for that. I love you for so many good things that we are doing. But you know something? This congregation could go further than it's ever dreamed before, but you just have to believe in the dream. Where do you want to go with Jesus? I'm excited to find out where he'll take me. I know one thing is, I love truth and I will go with truth. Always, because truth will keep me in Jesus. It will keep you in Jesus. It will not disappoint you. Is there somebody here this morning that hasn't done what I've done? Hasn't done what many of you have done? And that is to come right out and say, I know what it's like to be a sinner. And I want to confess what I truly believe, and that is that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. My faith is on a foundation of that. That I'm ready to be buried with my Lord in baptism for the forgiveness of sins. That is just the beginning of the journey. That's just the beginning of getting an abundance of life. Constantly listening and following that voice. It will take you into places of great abundance. Yes, it will take us out of our comfort zone sometimes. It will take us places with God that we never dreamed we could journey to. There's somebody here that is ready to do that, to be buried with Christ in baptism for the forgiveness of your sins. I don't apologize for preaching that, teaching that, offering that, because that is the way into the kingdom. That is the way out of your sin. Brother or sister, do you need to pray? Do you need help? Do you need strength? Do you need encouragement? Do you need to regroup yourself and come back to God? Come back to Jesus. We could do that this morning while together we stand and sing. There's a great day coming.